Today's daf is Menachis Daf Tzadik Dalid, and we have four lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis. So the topic of the last two dafin was the mitzvah of smicha. Every time a person brought a carbon, the Baal HaKarbon had an obligation to do smicha. The Mishnah spoke a little bit about what smicha was. Number one, it was done on the head of the animal. Number two, it was done bebeiz yodayim. The third halacha, and that's what we're up to, is b'makayim shesoymchin shaychten. Smicha was done in the same place that shchita was done. The tekef l'smicha shchita. And smicha was done immediately prior to when shchita was done. Says the Gemara, Maika Omar. A little confusing, that line. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. The Mishnah is not really saying two things, it's saying one thing. Smicha had to be done in the same place that the Shechita was done, and the reason is, because Shechita had to be done immediately after the Smicha was done, and as a result, if it has to be done Tekev, then inevitably it was going to have to be done at the same time. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says in Masech Zvachim, Taflamid Gimel, that there was one smicha that wasn't done tekef l'shchita, and that is the metzayer when he brought his karbanos. So he had to do smicha. The metzayer, because he was tummy, wasn't allowed to enter the azara. He had to stand at shar niknar. Being that he had to stand in shar niknar, the shchita of the asha metzayer, which is the carbon that the metzayer, the shchita one, was kachi gedashim, and it had to be betzofen no less, not only in the azara. So inevitably, it wasn't going to be tekef, because the smicha was being done outside the azara by shar niknar, and the shchita was going to be done in tzafon, but that was the exception to the rule. The rule is tekef l'smicha shchita, and as a result, b'makim shesoymchin shaychten. We'll speak out some raid on this in a few minutes. Zok de Mishnah, chaymer b'smicha mi b'tnufa u mi b'tnufa mi b'smicha. So smicha was one of the shiyorei mitzvah that many karbanos had. Tenufa was another one of the shiore mitzvah that some karbanos had. It says the Mishnah, there's a chumra that smicha has over tenufa, and there's a chumra that tenufa has over smicha. What's the chumra that smicha has over tenufa? She'echad meinech l'cholach haver, ve'inechad soyme l'cholach haver. If shutfin together are bringing a karban, so not all the shutfin have to do tenufa. One of the shutfin could do tenufa on behalf of his partners. But when it comes to smicha, we saw the limud earlier this morning. There's a halacha we learned from Karbanai that every single partner in this karban had to do his own smicha. So that's a chumra that smicha has over tenufa, in that all the shutfin have to contribute to the smicha, but not all the shutfin had to contribute to the tenufa. Tenufa has a chumra that smicha doesn't have. Sha tenufa nayheges b'karbanos hayachid u'b'karbanos tzibor. Tenufa is noyeg by karbanos yachin and karbanos tzibor. B'chayim u'b'shchutim. There's tenufa while the animal's alive, but there's also tenufa after the animal was already shachut. That's a chumra that tenufa has over smicha, because smicha was only done while the animal was still alive. You never find smicha after shchita. U'b'davar she'yesh boy ruach chayim, u'b'davar she'ein boy ruach chayim. You find tenufa b'davar she'ein boy ruach chayim as well. Not only by animals, but Rashi says lechem and nachos also have tenufa, as opposed to smicha. Ma'ashen kim b'smicha. You're never going to find smicha by a davar she'ein boy ruach chayim. You're also never going to find smicha by shchutin. The first thing the Mishnah said, that tenufa is nayheges b'karbonis hayachud u'b'karbonis tzibur, that you do have by smicha. That was the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there were two karbonis tzibur that had a mitzvah of smicha. Either way, zach de gemara tanu rabbanon and karbonai, it says the word karbonai three times regarding the mitzvah of smicha, and one of the karbonis teach me, the rabbis kol bali karbon l'smicha, that if many partners together bring a karbon, all the partners have to do their own smicha. You can't say that let one do the smicha and he'll be mitzi the other one. Says the Gemara, sheyachol, that in theory you could have argued v'haloi dinu umat nufa shenis rapsa b'shchutin nismata b'chayvrim madach tenufa that has a chumra that you find tenufa even after the animal already had shchita. Still, the halacha is that you don't need all the partners to do tenufa. Smicha shaloi nisrapsa b'shchutin. Smicha where you find that you don't do smicha after the animal's already shachat. Enoi din shet tismait b'chayvrim. Certainly you should have this halacha that one person should be able to do smicha for all the partners. Talmalayim, that's for that reason we need a pasuk karbonai. L'rabbi is kol bali karbon l'smicha. To teach me that even though in Sfar you could have argued kal v'chayimim mi tenufa, that one person should be able to do smicha and be mitzi everybody else, just like one person can do tenufa and be mitzi everybody else. Karbonai teaches me not that way. Kol bali karbon have to do smicha. Says the Gemara, but this rabbi tenufa b'chayimim mi kal v'chayimim. Why don't we flip it? And why don't we say that if many partners are bringing a karbon, all of them should have to do tenufa and you shouldn't allow one to be mitzi right to the others. How would I know that? Which you don't have the halacha that the smicha b'shchutin. Still, the halacha is that all the partners have to do their own smicha tnufa shenisrabso b'shchutin. Tnufa that you find a riboy. We were marba tnufois. Because there's a mitzvah of tenufa even b'shchutin, eino din shet nisrabso b'chayvim. Shouldn't there certainly be a halacha that more, you see there's more tenufais b'shchutin, so maybe there should be more tenufais that all the partners should have to do their own tenufa. But the Gemara says that although it's true, I hear, and we don't have any pasik to teach us to the contrary, but at the end of the day, it can't be that way. Mishum d'lo yefsha. Because really, it's not possible. Hechli yavet. Linfu kulu b'hadi adali. Meaning you want that if many partners, five people together, they chipped in, they're bringing a carbon. So there's a concept of carbon shel shutfin. Carbon shel shutfin is not a carbon tzibur, it's a carbon yachid. There just happen to be yechidim, many partners that together own this carbon. Says the Gemara, even though it's svari, you could say that maybe all of them should do the tenufa, but practically speaking, from a technical standpoint, it's not going to work out. Why? Linfu kulu b'hadei adadi, should all do the tenufa at the same time? Kavi chatzitza. You're going to end up with a chatzitza. Leinef v'lahader v'leinef. Should one person do tenufa, put it down, the next partner does tenufa, puts it down, the third partner does tenufa, puts it down, tenufa, amar achman v'leit tenufais. The Torah says one tenufa, not many tenufais. And as a result, it's not something that's going to be possible. Incidentally, you see from this Gemara that there's an issue. You're not allowed to have a chatzitza when you do tenufa. So if you remember, on Daf Samech Aleph, Rashi and Tosfos argue exactly how tenufa went down. Because we know that tenufa was done by the Bailin and by the Kohen. The Kohen and the Bailin had to do tenufa together. So Rashi learned that the way it happened was the Bailin would put his hands on the carbon and the Kohen would put his hands underneath the hand of the Bailin. Tosfos asked the Kasha, there's a chatzitza. Because the hand of the Bailin is being chaitzetz between the hand of the Kohen and the hand of the carbon. And says Tosfos, don't tell me there's no problem of chatzitza when it comes to tenufa, because it's a mefurish gemara. Like, come on, beperik shtei midos, daf tzadik gimel. It's really daf tzadik dalet, the gemara we just learned, where the gemara says mefurish that there is a problem of chatzitza. That's for that reason you can't have many partners all doing tenufa, because to do it one after another is not an option. You can only have one tenufa. They can't all do the tenufa together. But the bottom line is, Taisu said, you see, chatzitza is a problem. So chatzitza is a problem. Has every tenufa make sense? Look where every tenufa there's a chatzitza problem. So Taisu said that maybe pshat's not like Rashi. Maybe the way the tenufa was done between the kohen and the bailam wasn't that the kohen put his hand underneath the bailam's hand, but rather the bailam would hold it on the sides and the kohen would hold it on the bottom, or vice versa. They weren't all holding it in the same exact place. But then Taisu famously says, in the Yerushalmi it's not mashma that way, because the Yerushalmi discusses tenufa by the minchas kanon. Ordinarily, a woman didn't do tenufa, but there was one exception to the rule. The minchas kanois, the minchas saita, so the halacha is the woman who's the balas hakarbon, she had a mitzvah to do tenufa. And the Yerushalmi says, how do you do tenufa? Isn't it a dover mechur? The kohen's going to be holding the hand of the woman as they do tenufa. Aren't you running into a negiya issue? And the Yerushalmi says three terutz, and we spoke about this. But says Tosfos, if they're not holding hands, if there's it's not being done in this chatzitza way, then lochura, what's the issue? Elamai, it's very much mashma like Rashi. From the Gemara, you see there is a chatzitza problem. So Taisa says maybe it's not a problem because maybe the ikr tenufa was supposed to be done with the bailam. Even though the Torah learns, teaches us, it's learned from Sukkim that the kohen had to be involved in the chatzitza as well. It could be the ikr was with the bailam, so it doesn't bother me. But here, when they're all bailam, if there's going to be a chatzitza from one to the other, over here it will be an issue. I'll just tell you a davar chadish that I saw on Shabbos, the Michas Chinuch, says a gevaldig chiddush. He says, what would be if the bailam himself is a kohen? Let's say the bailam is a kohen. So Michas Chinuch says it's pashit to him that the bailam would be able to do the tenufa and wear both hats. He would be the bailam and the kohen. He wouldn't need two people doing the tenufa. So ordinarily, when the bailam is a Yisrael, he's a zar, so then you need a kohen, because there's a halacha that you need a kohen to contribute to the tenufa. But if the bailam himself is the kohen, in mitzvah kuf mem vav, Michas Chinuch argues it's a davar pashut to him that you wouldn't need both of them to do tenufa. Either way, so the Mishnah had said that tenufa has a chumra over smicha, because tenufa you have b'shchutin. There is an idea sometimes that there was a mitzvah tenufa even after the animal was already shachet, as opposed to smicha, you never find smicha b'shchutin. Break the Gemara, is that true? B'smicha b'shchutin less of a time we learned in the Mishnah. B'sman she'kohen gadol reitzel lahakter, the kohen gadol wanted to be makted emurim. Now we know the kohen gadol was makriv chelik b'roish, and he was noital chelik b'roish. He had veto power. So any day the Kohen Gadol decided, I want to do this avodah, he had a right to do the avodah. So says the Mishnah, in the event that the Kohen Gadol chose to do the avodah, this is a Mishnah Mesechtes Tamid, Hayo Oyla B'Kevesh. So he would walk up the ramp, and Vaskan B'Minoi, the Skan Kohen Gadol was to his right. When he got to the midway point of the ramp, Ochas Skan B'Minoi, the Skan wouldn't just stand to his right, but he would actually hold him, the Haleo, and he would walk him up. This is covered for the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohanim that won the Goyro, whose job it was to be involved with the Haktorah, the first Kohen would come, and he would hand the Kohen Gadol, the Reish and the Rekab, the head and the foot of the animal. This is the punchline. The Kohen Gadol would do smicha on these body parts of the animal, vizarkan, and then he would throw it. Haktorah was done bezrika. Right, the hekish of basar v'hadam, just like the dam required zrika, the haktorah required zrika as well. So he would take the roish and the regal with the kohen gadol. He would do smicha, and then he would throw it onto the mizbech. Hoshed Hasheni, the next kohen would come, and he would pass l'rishon, shtei yodayim, the two hands of the animal, nois noy l'kohen, the rishon would give it to the kohen gadol, soymech aleim, he would do smicha on it, v'zorka. Nishmat Hasheni, the second kohen would go away, v'holach loy, v'kachoy, v'shitun l'shar kol evar. So there were many kohanim that were involved, and the way it worked was, one kohen would pass it over to the next kohen, who would give it over to the kohen gadol. But it was all the same process. With all the evarim, soymech aleim, the kohen gadol would constantly do smicha before the haktara, v'zorka. V'zmanshu, who writes, and if he wanted, who soymech v'achem v'zorkin? He didn't even have to do the rikav v'dalti. It was too heavy. I don't know. He didn't want to do it. So he can be mechabit somebody else to do it. But the bottom line is it's a mefurish mishnah. It's a mishnah mesechtes Tamid. You see that the kohen gadol used to do smicha on the body parts of the animal before he did the haktaras. So you see clearly that the smicha, even the shchutin, I'm rabbi, Abaye said, Hashem mishum kfoy did the kohen gadol. It wasn't a real mitzvah smicha. The smicha that we're talking about is the smicha that the Torah says over and over and over again. These are real mitzvah smichas deiraisa. And we are comparing and contrasting smicha to tenufa, which also a mitzvah deiraisa. The smicha that the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid is referring to wasn't a mitzvah deiraisa. It was just something that was done the chfeidoi shel kohen gadol. What's the chfeidoi shel kohen gadol? So the last Rashi Ksavyad in Masechtes Menachos says, Shetei toiras haktarosai mu'ula mishar haktaras tashar kehanim. We just wanted to differentiate between the haktarah that the Kohen Gadol did versus the haktarah that ordinary Kehanim did. But it wasn't a real mitzvah smicha. Thus, the Mishnah is still correct when the Mishnah says that there was a chumrah that Tenufa had over smicha, that Tenufa was b'chayim u'b'shchutin, masha'en kein b'smicha, exhale. Hadron Allah, shnei midah. So before we go weiter and we begin the next parak, which is a completely new topic, two ha'aris as it relates to the mitzvah of smicha. The first is a mulamdisha ha'ara. The second one is a lighter ha'ara. So one of the halachas that we saw on Daf Tzadik Gimel was the Mishnah said, Akol Saimche, everyone has an obligation to do something. You bring a carbon, you have a mitzvah smicha. And then the Mishnah gave 8 exceptions to the rule. Chutz michere shayta v'katan, v'suma v'oived keichavim, v'ha'eved v'ha'shliach v'ha'ishas. One of the balei carbon mentioned in the Mishnah that is exempt from the mitzvah of smicha is an isha. There's a very important machlokes in Shas between the Tanoim, whether a woman who's excluded from the mitzvah of smicha, does that mean she doesn't have a chiyuv to do smicha? But if she wants to do smicha, she can do smicha? Or does it mean even more than that? That a woman cannot do smicha. The Braisa says as follows, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, it's also in Chagiga, Daf Tezayin. This is something that's mentioned many places in Shas. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael, soimchin, ve'im b'nois Yisrael, soimchis devir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dafke b'nei Yisrael, soimchin, ve'im b'nois Yisrael, soimchis. That means, if a woman wants to do smicha, she cannot do smicha. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon say, noshim, soimchis, rishos. No, it's not true. That it's only that a woman doesn't have to do smicha, that we learn from b'nei Yisrael, soimchis. But if a woman wants to do smicha, it's something that she has a right to do. Now, at first glance, this machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda on the one side, Rabbi Yisrael Mishimon on the other side, is a very specific, a very local machloikis regarding the halacha of smicha. There's a gzeres akasav that women are exempt from smicha. Rabbi Yehuda understood it means they're not allowed to do smicha. Rabbi Yisrael Mishimon understood it just means they're not obligated to do smicha. But in terms of it having ramifications in other areas in halacha, muscho rishon, you would say, mechatesi. Stating that, the Gemara Masechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph says an unbelievable chiddush. We know that women are potter from mitzvah saseh shazman gerama. What happens if a woman wants to be mekayim a mitzvah saseh shazman gerama? She wants to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. She wants to take Dalad Minan on Sukkos. She wants to be Mekayim, one of the mitzvahs that says she has Manga Rama. Is it okay or is it not okay? Now, of course, La Halacha, it's okay. Not just that, we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, the Ashkenazim do, that a woman even makes a bracha if she does a mitzvah essay shas mangarama. But we're discussing this on the Tanoim level, not on the Halacha level. On the Tanoim level, is it okay for a woman to be mekayim a mitzvah essay shas mangarama? Zokti Gemara, it's totally in this machlokes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that a woman is not allowed to do smicha, being that she's exempt from smicha, it's usur for her to do smicha. It would be usur for a woman to be mekayim a mitzvah essay shas mangarama. According to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, that hold that a woman is just exempt from mitzvah smicha. But if she wants to do smicha, she can. Noshim soim chayis rishos, says the Gemara, if a woman would want to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, if she'd want to be mekayim a mitzvah saasei shazman gerama, it would be okay. In other words, this machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand, and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon on the other hand, is not a local, regional machlokes. This is a global machlokes. This is a machlokes that's nogeya, literally kol ha'Torah kula. According to Rabbi Yehuda, shteta yisoy, that if a woman is potter from a mitzvah, she's not allowed to do the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, a woman is potter from a mitzvah just means that she's exempt from doing the mitzvah. But certainly, if she wants to, tava aleim bracha, she could even make a mitzvah. She even make a bracha according to Rabbeinu Tam. Regardless, a very, very important machlokes. The shaila is, but what's pshana Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds it just because a woman is potter from smicha, she can't do smicha. Just because a woman is potter from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that means she can't blow Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi in Nesechtes Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amar Aleph, says an unbelievable chiddush. Zokte Eligir Rashi, the Pturei Slagami. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman who's potter from blowing shofar is potter legamri. The mitzvahs esesh as manger ramahu. So, v'chitaki, if she blows shofar, ikka bal taisef. She's going to be over bal taisef. So it says Rashi, you want to know the beer in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Bal taisef. We know the halacha is you're not allowed to add a fifth parasha to tefillin. You can't add another min to the dalim minim of your lulav. You can't be maisef in a mitzvah. A woman who's going to do a mitzvah that she's potter from, says Rashi, ikka bal taisef. Rashi says it again in Masechtas Erev and Daftzadik Gvav twice. Al kopanim Shitas Rashi ki yodua is that Pshana Rabbi Yehuda who holds that women who are potter from mitzvahs esesh as mangaroma cannot do the mitzvahs esesh as mangaroma. It's based on the Isabel Taisef. The Marsha in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, asks the obvious question. The Marsha says, Bal Taisef, what does that have to do with Bal Taisef? Bal Taisef always means you're being Maisef in the mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. The mitzvah is four parashias. You added a fifth parashia. You have a mitzvah to take Dalad Minim. You added a fifth min. I have a chiv to do a mitzvah, and I was Maisef in the mitzvah that I'm mechuyev to do. That's the classic Bal Taisef. But Frank the Marsha, who ever heard of a Bal Taisef where I don't have an obligation to do this mitzvah? I did. I'm not being mechadesh a mitzvah. This mitzvah exists. This mitzvah is chai v'kaya. It just so happens I personally am exempt from doing this mitzvah. So because I did a mitzvah that I'm potter from, that's Bal Taisef. Bal Taisef means when I'm creating a mitzvah. I'm being maisef in a mitzvah. But to do something that I'm potter from, certainly in the world of lumdis, just based on the simple understanding of how Bal Taisef works, would seem to be a big chiddush. But either way, that is Rashi Shita. Stating that, Taisefus, in Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Tzadik Vav, Amin Aleph argues. Taisef brings Rashi. Taisva says he doesn't think that's the pshat, but rather Taisva said pshat something else, and behektam a very big chiddush, and that is that when Rabbi Yehuda said that women who are potter from mitzvah aseishas mangarama cannot do mitzvah aseishas mangarama, Rabbi Yehuda didn't mean all mitzvah aseishas mangarama. He was referring specifically to a mitzvah that involves a little bit of an iser. We are stating that despite the fact that tzad iser, there's a mitzvah to do the mitzvah. A woman who's potter, she can't do it. So for example, says Taisvus, I'll find you four places in Shas where you find that Chazal talked about this concept of a woman who's potter, it should be us according to Rabbi Yehuda. You find it by smicha. That's our sugya. Nashim are exempt from smicha. Rabbi Yehuda holds a woman can't do smicha. Says Taisvus, that makes sense. Because if you can't do smicha, then you're not allowed to lean on an animal that's kachim. You're not allowed to do avayda b'kachim. It's me'ila. You're not allowed to have anav from kachim. You're getting involved in really surin. So says Taisvus, over there Rabbi Yehuda said, being that there's a iser, if you don't have the mitzvah, a woman who doesn't have the mitzvah cannot do it. Another place he finds is by shofar. This gemara that we just learned, Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel. Tkiyah shofar involves a malacha. You're not allowed to play an instrument on yontif. Tkiyah shofar involves a malacha. That's the Tazis kasha. Why weren't the chachamim geizer shemi yisak and klishir that you should never be allowed to blow shofar? You don't blow shofar on Shabbos Sheva Yamirenu. You should never blow shofar. Because that's the Tazis chiddush that we never make a takana and exerit that's giving him a vatal mitzvah. But the point is, it's a tzad issur when it comes to tkiyah shofar. So if you have a mitzvah, you have a mitzvah. But a woman who doesn't have the mitzvah, she can't blow shofar. Another place Taisa says where you find this is by tefillin.
The Gemara talks about Michal Bas Kushi, that was Michal Bas Shol, Hoysa Maneches Tefillin. So you find a discussion in the Gemara whether a woman is allowed to put on Tefillin or not. There too, because Tefillin Tzarech Guf Naki Ka'alisha Bal Knafayim. I mean that women back in the day were considered to not have Guf Naki, Damnida, etc. So as a result, a woman, if she doesn't have the mitzvah of tefillin, wouldn't be allowed to put on. And finally, Tais says, the fourth place he finds is by a lila regal. The Gemara discusses over there, Masech Tzeirvin, and Tais says, for a woman to be oila regal, she's potter from being oila regal, Yairah kol zechurcha, a woman is potter from being oila regal, it could be there's a gedder of chulin lazara, ayin shamba Tais says. But regardless, Tais argues with Rashi. Tais says, nothing inherently wrong with doing a mitzvah that you're potter from doing. This has nothing to do with Baal Tais, presumably for the Marsha's reason. Because Baal Tais is when you're being mechadesh a mitzvah, or you're being maisef in a mitzvah. Over here, I'm just doing something that he's chayev to do that I'm personally not chayev to do. That's not Baal Tosef. Why then would there be a problem? What is the beer in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda's halacha only relates to cases where there's a tzad iser, where there's a tzad iser, if you're obligated to do it. So you do it at the expense of the iser. But when you're potter from doing it, I have no right to do it because it comes with an invoice that I have no way of paying. I'm not allowed to go ahead and be mekayim a mitzvah that I'm not obligated to be mekayim if it means being mishtamish bekachim, if it means bringing chulin lazara, if it means wearing tefillin without a gufnaki, or if it means blowing shofar, playing with an instrument on Yontif, which is something that ordinarily you'd not be allowed to do. Bottom line, a very important afkamina law. According to Rashi, it relates to all mitzvahs. According to Tosfos, it only relates to specific mitzvahs. Stating that, there's a very important ran in the beginning of the second perek in Masechta Sukkah. The context over there is a well-known Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hayoshin tachas amita b'sukkah layotzi dei chavasim." Somebody sleeps in the sukkah, but he sleeps underneath the bed in the sukkah. So the halach is layotza yidei chavasim. I'm skipping. Amar Reb Shimon, Maisa b'tevi avdei Shlomo Gamliel. There was a story with Tevi, who was the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel. Shayoshin tachas amita. He was sleeping underneath the bed in a sukkah. Va'amar lehem Rabbi Gamliel l'skenim. Rabbi Gamliel told the skenim, Re'isim tovi avdi, shu talmud chacham. You see, my Eved, he's a big talmud chacham. V'yoideya sh'avodim p'turim in a sukkah. Tosfos and the Ran all quote Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi over there discusses that the reason Tevi had to sleep underneath the bed was being that Tevi was an Eved Kanani. And an Eved Kanani is hookish li'isha in terms of what mitzvahs he is and isn't obligated in. Sukkah is a mitzvah esish as man garama nashim apater. That means Tavi was pater as well. So he wasn't allowed to sleep in the sukkah. The reason he was sleep pashi, you learn he was making room. But Yerushalmi says a different shot. Yerushalmi says it was asr for him to sleep in the sukkah. And the reason it was asr is because it was a mitzvah esish as man garama. And he had no right to do a mitzvah esish as man garama. Pashi is going l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Noshim are not allowed to do smicha. A woman's not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Because being that she's potter, it's aser. She can't do it, get schar, and even make of it tzivanu, like Rabbeinu Tam says. No. It's aser to do. It's a pashat. Yerushalmi's going. But she does Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, but freak the Ran. What's the tzad iser? Why should it be a prop? It says, don't tell me Rabbi Yehuda shita. Because the Ran understood Rabbi Yehuda the way Tosfos and Erev and Av Tzadik Vav did. That the only time there's ever a problem for a woman to do a mitzvah sesesh as mangarama is if there's a tzad iser. But freak the Ran. Chulin Lazara, Tfilin, Gufnaki, blowing shofar, it's a klesh here. Smicha, you're being mishtamish b'kachim. But what's the tzaddis if you're sleeping in a sukkah? What are you doing? You're doing something wrong? See, you be mekayim a mitzvah, you're not be mekayim a mitzvah, whatever. But what's the tzaddis? Why should it be a problem? Now, wait, Rashi, we understand. It's Baal Tosef. But the Ran didn't understand like Rashi. The Rashi had kalant azayvi tesis. So if you understood, pshat, Rabbi Yehuda like Tosef and Erevin, that tzaddik vav. So the Ran asks the obvious question. And the Ran says two terutzim. The first teretz, the Ran says that maybe the issue over there wasn't the actual sleeping in a sukkah, it was more the bracha. Rabbi Gamliel thought that Tavi was going to make a bracha, it was a bracha issue. Okay. Va'odei Shleima says the Ran that it's true. The real reason that a woman can't do a mitzvah essay as man grom is because of the tzad iser. But being that some mitzvahs essay involve an iser and other mitzvahs don't involve an iser, the Chachamim made an unequivocal gzera. They said a woman cannot be mekayim a mitzvah essay as man grom. In other words, it's true. The reason why a woman shouldn't be able to be mekayim a mitzvah essay as man grom is like Tosfos says in Erevin. And that only relates to specific mitzvahs essay. But once the Chachamim said that a woman can't do certain mitzvahs essay, they made a universal
takana and gzera and iser and said a woman can never be mekayim a mitzvah esay. It doesn't matter if there is a tzad iser or if there's not a tzad iser. And being that at the end of the day it's mitzvah esay shazman gerama, says the Ran, I have no choice but to be madchik that's pshat and that Yerushalmi in the beginning of the second parak of Masechta Sukkah. But I'm going to tell you a beautiful aura that I saw. We spoke this out when we learned Masechta Sukkah, but that was a very long time ago. In the Sefer Zichron Shmuel from Reb Shmuel Rozovsky. And that is Behektim, a very big chiddush from the Oinig Yontif. The Oinig Yontif in Eirachayim, Tshuva Mem Test, asks a bomb kasha, Kedarka Bakoidash. He says that we know if a person's sitting in a sukkah and it starts raining, so what's the halacha? So Ramah says, if you remain in the sukkah, nikra hadyet. So some people leave the sukkah. The chassidim used to say, I'd rather be a hadyet and still sit in the sukkah. V'advarim atikin ve'in kam mekoyim laharach. But the pashup shad is, just the ikr halacha and shulchan aruch is that if you're sitting in a sukkah while it's raining, you're not mekayim a mitzvah, you're supposed to leave. You're nikra hadyet. Freik the oinig yontif, the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, daf tesam and aleph, that atzei sukkah are aser bahana. Chag HaSukkahs, we compare the sukkah to the Karben Chagiga. And just like the Karben Chagiga was a carbon, it was kachim, mi'ila, it's asabana, so too the Atzei Sukkah is asabana. What do you mean it's asabana? You're allowed to sit in a sukkah, you haven't gotten off from the sukkah, the teretz is b'mokka mitzvah, of course you're allowed to be nana from it. But Atzei Sukkah, shaloi b'mokka mitzvah, is asabana. And he really blibes with Akasha, and he says, I want to say a tremendous chiddush la'alacha, that if somebody's sitting in a sukkah, and it starts raining, not only are you nikra hedyet if you stay in the sukkah, you have to run for your life. You have to get out. Because if you're going to stay in the sukkah, it's going to come out you're being nene from the sukkah. And being that it's shaloi b'makom mitzvah, because you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, you're a mitztayer, so you're being nene from the sukkah, shaloi b'makom mitzvah. So if you're being nene from the sukkah, shaloi b'makom mitzvah, says the Yontif, he asks that as a kasha, v'advarim atikin, oinig yontif, oirechayim, simen mem test. That's the oinig yontif z'ara. Zokrav Shmuel Rozovsky, I have a raya from this Ran, not like the Oinig Yontif. Because the Ran asked the Kasha, he says, the Yerushalmi, it's Mavur, that the reason Tavi, Abdi Shlomo Gamliel, slept underneath the bed was because he understood he was an Eved Kenani. He's like an Isha. He's parted from Sukkah, which according to Rabbi Yehuda means it's Aser. Frank Duran, the only time a woman is not allowed to be Mekayim and Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grom is when there's a Tzad Iser. He said, what's the Tzad Iser? I don't know what the Tzad Iser is. And the Ran had to be Mechadish, Vais Tais from this Yerushalmi, that even though the reason the underlying svara for Rabbi Yehuda Shita is because of a tzad iser, but at the end of the day, the Chachamim related it to all mitzvahs esay, even when there's no tzad iser. Frank Reb Shmuel, why? L'charetz pasha what the tzad iser is. The Yontif's kasha. The tzad iser is if Tavi is potter from mitzvah sukkah, that he's not allowed to sit in a sukkah. Because by him sitting in a sukkah, he's being nene from the atzei sukkah, shaloi b'makom mitzvah. Elamai says, Rav Shmuel, you see from here, not like the Yontif's kasha, it's just a beautiful aura. Either way, that's the first aura. The second aura is, so the Gemara said that there's an halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita. So the smicha and the shchita had to be done, one right after the other. That's this halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita. This Gemara mesecht is brachis, Daf Membeis Amir Aleph. The Gemara over there says as follows. Amir Abchia Barashi, Amir Rav. Shalosh Tkifoisein. There are three things that have to be done. Tekef, miyad. Tekef l'smicha shchita. Tekef l'geula tefila. There's a mitzvah to be soymech geula l'tefila. Tekef l'netilas yadayim bracha. And immediately after a person washes netilas yadayim, it's talking about mayim achroinim, bracha, you're supposed to bench. Amr Abaya. Abaya said, af anu noymar. I have another one to add. Tekef l'tamidei chachamim bracha. Says Rashi, Hamakrivay Elov Umaarche Bebesai. If somebody has a Talmud Chacham in his house, immediately after he has his Talmud Chacham in his house, Sekum Bracha, it comes a Shefa, Shenema Tumakiris. Vayivarcheni Hashem Beglolich, Lovan told Yaakov that I got Bracha because of you. Iba Yisema Mehacha, Shenema Vayivarch Hashem is based on Mitzri Beglal Yosef. Then when Yosef moved into Paitifar's house, so Bracha came to the base Mitzri. So you see from these two psukim that a Talmud Chacham brings bracha. So Abayu said, I want to add to Rav's list. Rav said, Sholish Tkifoisein, Tekef L'smicha Shchita, Tekef L'geula Tfila, Tekef L'ntila Sedayim Bracha. I have a fourth Tekef. Tekef L'talmidei Chachamim Bracha. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Beis Amin Beis, says, Tekef L'ntilas Yodayim Suda. That when a person washes, not my machroinim, my rishonim, immediately, not supposed to be mafsek. Immediately afterwards, you're supposed to eat the suda. Freik Tosfos Akasha, the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis Amar Alf, the Gemara we just mentioned says Sholish Tkifay Sein. Now it's true, one of them involves a Suda, but it's Tekef in the Tilas Yadayim Bracha, which means right after Mayim Achrayim, you're supposed to bench. L'chur, there's a fourth one. This Gemara, Mem Beis Amar Beis, Tekef in the Tilas Yadayim Suda, says Tosfos, true, it is a fourth one. At the same time, Rav didn't mention it because Tekef in the Tilas Yadayim Suda is a Mefurish Mishnah. And Rav didn't want to mention something that's Mefurish in a Mishnah. So he was mentioning three Tkifos that are not explicit anywhere in a Mishnah, but in a Chinami, there's really a fourth. As it relates to that fourth one, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Betzias Apas in Simin Kuf Samach Vav brings the halacha. Yeshayimim she ain't tzarich lizor milahafsik benetila lahamoitzi. Some hold that you don't have to be careful about being mafsik between washing your hands and saying hamoitzi. Yeshayimim she tzarich lizor that you do have to be careful. No. Ve'toyv lizor. And the right thing to do is to be nizar. Says the Rama, v'imsha kidei hiloch chaf beis ama mikri hefsik. Says you want to know what the sheer hefsik is? So you want to be mahadar. You want to make sure that it's going to be takeoff l'natilas yadayim bracha. Like the v'yesh oimer in the mechaber, of course, based on this gemara and bracha, staff num beis ama beis. So what's the sheer? What does it mean? You wash your hands, then that second you should make the bracha? No, it's sheer chaf beis amos. The amount of time that it would take to walk 22 amos, which is approximately 44 feet, that's what the sheer is. That would be the amount of time that you're supposed to weigh in between. What's the makar to it? So the Ramah says it's a Tosfos in Masechta Soita daf lametes amar aleph. And it's actually a very interesting makar. Tosfos over there says that the Gemara says, Zvachan lamet gimel amar aleph. We mentioned the Gemara earlier that even though the Mishnah says, takeif the smicha, Shchita. But at the same time, there was one exception to the rule. The Mitzayra, when he brought his carbon asham and he had to do smicha on the asham Mitzayra, they couldn't do it right away. Why? Because he had to be standing in Shar Niknar and the Shchita had to be in Kachi Kadashim. Asham is had to be in Tzafin because it's Kachi Kadashim. So it took time until it wasn't. Says Tosfos, how much distance was there between Shar Niknar and Tzafin? Tosfos does the math. It comes out it was 22 amos. If it's 22 amos, says Tosfos, I'm not sure what the sheer takeoff is, but I know what it isn't. Meaning, if you walk 22 amos, that's already not takeoff. It's based on that Tosfos regarding a kachim diga halacha, takeoff l'smicha shchita, that the Ramah said, you want to know how long you can nunu between yinatila sidayim and baking hamaitzi. It's a sheer chav beis amos. Now, the Ramah didn't really have a makar that any distance within 22 amos is taken. All the Ramah knows is that more than 22 amos is not taken. But okay, al kapanim, there's a makar to ashir. We have a number. The number is chav beis amos, and that's the source. That's the makar to this Ramah. But I just think you see one beautiful thing from this Gemara over here, and that mem beis amar aleph. So Rav said a halacha sholish tkifay sein. Take it for smicha shchita. Take it for gula tefila. Take it for tefila zayim bracha. Tosfos adds to the list based on the Gemara and based on the base. Take it for tefila zayim suda. Abaye said, "Af anu noimar. Take it for talmidei chachamim bracha." That after a person has a talmud chacham in his house, again hamakriva elof umaarchoy bebeisay, it comes out immediately is going to be bracha. But now that we said that we know what the sheer takeif is, the sheer takeif is chaf beis amos. That means this Gemara, this skula, that the Gemara says that if a person has a talmud chacham in his house, he's Mahana Talmud Chacham, Ma'archoi Bebesoi, that's Lashon Rashi, Ma'kriva Yelov, that he's Zoicha Tabracha, it's not 30 days credit. This is not 30, 60, 90. But this is Tekev, Shir Chav Beis Amos. There's an immediate bracha that the person is Zoicha to. It's an immediate Shefa, it's immediate bracha. Just tell you one Ha'ara. The Lashon HaGemara is Tekev the Talmidei Chachamim Bracha. It's Talmud Chacham. Emphasis on Talmud Chacham. Now, what's the Makar? The Gemara brings two Makaris. Number one, Vayivarcheni Hashem Biglalech. Number two, Vayivarch Hashem is Beis HaMitzri Biglal Yosef. Vayivarcheni Hashem Biglalech is Lavan talking. That when Yaakov came to Lavan, he got bracha. The second pasuk is referring to Yosef. Now, Yaakov was a Talmud Chacham. Yaakov was an Ishtam Yosef Ahalim. Yosef was also a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara Yuma, Yosef is Mechayev the Yafei Tayar. They can ask him, the Yafei Taya, the Baal Taya, why didn't you learn Taira? Were you better looking than Yosef? Right, that's the thing where you had more Nisyonis than Yosef. No, but Yosef HaTzadik is the Avi Avois of
Nisayin and being Oymid ben Nisayin. But you see from the Gemara that Yosef HaTzadik learned Torah, right? Ben Zakunim, Yaakov Avinu taught him all his Torah. But the bottom line is, Yaakov and Yosef were Talmid HaChachamim. And the Gemara is learning from there, that you see from there, take of the Talmid Chacham Bracha. But it's interesting that the Gemara thought that the punchline of why Yaakov brought Bracha to Beis Lavan is because he was a Talmid Chacham. The punchline of why Yosef brought Bracha to the Beis Mitzri was because he was a Talmid Chacham. Incidentally, I saw in the Chidah, in the Sefer Pesach Einayim, he brings that the Pasuk says, Vayehi me'oz hifkid oisei beveisoi, v'al kol asher yeshloi, v'yevorech Hashem es beis ha-mitzri beglal Yosef. Vayehi me'oz. It was takeif. Chidah. It was takeif. Vayehi me'oz. As soon as the base mit this mitzri, Potiphar, brought Yosef into his house, immediately v'yevorech Hashem es beis mitzri. But how did the Gemara know that it was out the Talmud Chacham Shebohem? It was the Talmud Chacham Yaakov. It was the Talmud Chacham Yosef. Maybe it was the Merkava Yaakov. It was the Dmus Dyukna is Tachas Kisei Yaakov. Maybe it was Yosef HaTzadik. How do we know that it was the Talmud Chacham? That was the Ara. But I'll tell you one beautiful Maramakim. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, on that Pasuk, Vayivorech Hashem es Beis HaMitzri Beglal Yosef. Listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya's Lashon. Him Shilei HaKosev La'Arin Abris. This is unbelievable. The Torah equated Yosef HaTzadik to the Arin. SheKosev Boi Shmuel Beis. VaYeshev Arin Hashem Beis Oyveit Edoim Hagiti. Of Shmuel Beis fame. So the Arin was in the house of Oyveit Edoim Hagiti Shloisha Chadoshim for 3 months. VaYevorech Hashem Es Oyveit Edoim Ves Kol Beisoi. Chazal say it was they were gave birth to children, Shishu Bekerazach. They had unbelievable bracha. Why? Because he had the Aron in his house. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, you want to know why when Yosef came to the house of Potiphar, he brought bracha? Him Shiloi HaKosav La'Aron Abris. Just like you find in Shmuel Beis, that Oyved Edoim Hagiti had bracha because he had the Aron in his, he had the Aron Abris with the Luchos and the Kruvim. He had the Aron in his house. What did the Aron bring? It brought bracha in the same exact vein. Yosef HaTzadik brought bracha as well. L'chura, what was the bracha of the Aron? It was the Torah. It was the Aron HaEdos. It was the Luchos. It was the Torah that the Aron had in it. So if that's the Himshiloi HaKasav, it wasn't just Yosef the Tzaddik. It was Yosef the Talmud Chacham. It was the Torah. Someone who learns Torah, it's Kohen Gadol HaNichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim. What's Lefnai V'Lefnim? That's the Aron HaBrisas Lefnai V'Lefnim. The Aron was what carried in it. It was the embodiment of Torah Shebiksav. The Talmud Chacham is the Torah Shebapel. What the Aron is, the Torah Shebiksav is what to say for Torah. What the Luchos is, the but either way, him Shiloi HaKosav La'Aron Abris, just like the Aron brought bracha to the bias of Oyved Edom Magiti, it was in the same exact vein that Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov, they brought bracha. Regardless, that's this Gemara that Abaye said, I'm going to add another takeif. Takeif the Talmidei Chachamim bracha. Either way, on that note, Zokt the Mishnah Vayta. If we have time, maybe we'll speak out some more rich. Shtei Halechem Niloishois Achas Achas Venefois Achas Achas. So we return to the sugyas of Shtei Halechem that were brought together with the Kifsei Atzeres on Shavuos and the halachis of the Lechem HaPanim. So the Shtei Halechem, which were two breads, were kneaded one at a time. V'nefes achas achas. They had to be baked one at a time. Lechem aponim, delicious achas achas. They were kneaded one at a time. But v'nefes shtayim shtayim. They were baked two at a time. U'betfos haya oisa oisan. And there was a tfos, like a form that the dough was put into, so that the lechem aponim would get the special form that it was supposed to have. A lot more about that in the Gemara. Kishahu roidon, when the koyein would remove the breads from the oven where the lechem aponim were baking, noisam litfos, he would put it into another tfos, another form, kideish lo yiskalkulu, so it shouldn't go bad. Says the Gemara, minohani mili, how do you know that the shtei halechem were niloishois achas achas, venefois achas achas, whereas the lechem aponim were niloishois achas achas, but venefois shtayim shtayim. Tan rabbanu, shnei esronim yeh, hachalo ha'achas, it's referring to the lechem aponim. Melami, we learn from here, shen niloishois achas achas. So shnei esronim yeh, hachalo ha'achas, hachalo achas teaches me that the lisha was done one at a time. How do you know the shtei halechem was the same way? Talmud lomi yeh. Yeah includes shtei halechem to this halach, meaning the pasuk's talking about the lechem aponim. Yeah includes even the shtei halechem. Now, shafi yosim shtayim shtayim. Heading the lechem aponim were baked two at a time. Talmud loymar v'samta oisam. Oisam's a lashon rabbi. Yochel, I would have thought av shtei halechem came. The shtei halechem were also baked two at a time. Talmud loymar oisam.
Only then, only the lechem aponim were two at a time. The shtei lechem were one at a time. How could you use oisam to teach me two things? You're telling me oisam teaches me that the lechem aponim were two, and it also teaches me that the shtei lechem were one. Says the gemara, very simple, because imkein leimakrov is samtam. If all the Torah wanted to tell me was that the lechem aponim were baked two at a time, it wouldn't have said v'samta oisam. Rather, it would have said v'samtam. My v'samta oisam shamed mino tarti. We learn from there, number one, that the lechem aponim were two at a time. Number one. Two, that the shtei lechem were one at a time. Tanu rabbanon v'samta oisam b'tfos. So the lechem aponim were put in this defos that was in the oven. Shloisha tfusim him, says the Gemara. There were three of these forms. Noisel tfos, v'adayin hibatzik. When it was in the form of dough, it was put in a tfos. There was another tfus that was inside the oven. When the kohen would do redias apas, he would remove it from the oven. Nois number tfus, he would put it into a third tfus. Kadesh loy teskalka, so that it shouldn't go bad. So there were three independent kalim that the lechem aponim were in to give the molds, right? To give the lechem the form that it was supposed to have. Thank you. Says the Gemara, ulahadru l'tfus kama. Why couldn't the first mold and the third mold be the same mold, right? Why did you need two separate ones? Why couldn't, when you're taking it, meaning one was in the oven. Okay, so that one remained in the oven. But it was going to be in the form that was outside the oven twice. Once in the form of dough, once after it was already. So why couldn't it be the same one? The Gemara says, keep it the apple in nafka, because once you bake it, it expands in size. So it's going to be too big. It's going to be too big to be able to put it back into the original form. So one was a little bit smaller. It was the same shape, but one was a little bit smaller than the other one. Itmar, lechem aponim, ketzad oisin oisam. What was the shape of the lechem aponim? So if you're picturing chalos, that's the wrong picture. If you're picturing loaves of bread, that's also the wrong picture. What was it? It's a machlekes. Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Chanina says, kemin teva prutza. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kemin svida reikadas teva prutza." So Rashi gives us pictures. If you have an art scroll or an oiz v'hadar, so there's an updated picture. Thank you, Moshe. Yeah. Refer to Exhibit A on your PowerPoint. But teva prutza is a box that doesn't have a cover and it's missing two of its walls. So it's parutz. Parutz meruba ala oimid. But basically, it's this dilapidated box. So essentially, what you're left with is a flat bottom. And two walls. Two walls as opposed to four walls. Additionally, you don't have the top. Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan's picture is a little bit trickier. It was kamin svida reikadas. Literally, it was like a speedboat. That's what it means. So number one, it wasn't flat on the bottom, but rather the bottom was pointy. Now, it had to have a little bit of a base on the bottom. Rashi says the base was kamin etzba. How big is an etzba? Refer to, yeah. How many baits him? So either way. Yeah. So it was kamin etzba. Additionally, the two sides, the two ends, it wasn't flat, but like a boat that comes to a point at the end. So it's like a little pinch. If you have the picture on the two sides, the bread itself was rounded. So again, a few differences. Number one, it wasn't flat on the bottom. It didn't have a flat bottom. The flat part of it was, all it was an etzba. Number two, it was round as opposed to square. So the two sides, the width was going to be semicircles on each side. And the two edges on the length were pinched. They came to a little bit of a point. And the Gemara is going to ask kashas back and forth now on the two respective pshatim. Was the lechem aponim like a teva prutza? Or was the lechem aponim like a svida rekada? Says the Gemara, bishtam in the man namar, kemi teva prutza, hainu davi yasmi bazichem. I understand where they put the bazichem levain. There were two scoops of levaina that were on the lechem aponim. Now, the scoops were actually on the breads. So if you picture the teva prutza, which is incidentally the halacha, so the halacha is that the lechem aponim was shaped like a teva prutza. So the picture you usually have is on the top of the two upper breads, each had one of the bezichei levaina respectively. That's what it looked like, right? So bishleima, according to the mandama that holds, that it was flat, it was a flat bread. So I understand where you're able to put the teva prutza. El mandama kemin svina reikad, that's where it was round. Hechavi yasvi bezichin, right? It sloped down. There was no flat area inside the bread to be able to put the bezichei levaina. So the Gemara says, you have to say makom avilu, that they would make a little place tucked away into one of the walls of the bread. It was like a little shelf, so to speak, and that's where they would put the bezichei levaina, meaning the bread itself didn't have the receptacle that was wide enough to be able to
hold the bezicha levoyin in it. What they would do is they would put it inside one of the interior walls of the breads. That's where they would put it. Bishlam the man damer came in teva prutz. Bishlam came in man damer that says that it was a teva prutz. Hainu dahavi yasvi kodim. There were poles, as we're going to see on Daf Tzadik Vav, that separated the breads. So there were 12 lechem upon him, yid bayis chalas, and they were piled up on top of the shulchan. But they didn't put bread on top of bread on top of bread. There were three golden rods, kanim, that separated each layer of breads. So the Gemara says, according to Mandama says that it was a teva prutza, it makes sense how they were able to put the three rods. Right? If you look at that picture right there. So you have the three rods, one on each end, one in the middle. You put the next bread on top of that. But being that it's a nice, square, wide bread, it could support the kanim, it could support the rods. Where did they put the rods? Bishlami, the one in the middle you're able to put, but the two on the side, it comes to a little point at the end. So you're going to put it on the point. It's not big enough to be able to support it. So the Gemara says, "May Rasha Avidahu." They would add a little bit of dough that was thick enough and strong enough to be able to hold the pole. So you're right. The natural state of the bread, based on Rabbi Yochanan's picture, didn't have the ability to support the two konim that are at the two ends. But if they added a little piece, now you're able to do it. The shulchan was a table. And again, the Mishnah Daf Tzadik Vav is going to go into very great technical detail. We're going to see everything as it relates to the shulchan. But if you picture the shulchan, so you have a table, that's the actual shulchan. The breads are piled on top. And then there were four beams that stood on the two sides that supported the breads. So the Gemara says, according to Mandam, it says it was Teva Prutza. I understand how the beams on the sides, those four long, tall beams, supported the breads. Because what they did was, is they would tuck the breads firmly, snugly in between the boards like this. It held it together. Elo mandamak means sfina rekadas, but according to mandamak, it says it was a sfira rekadas, hechavi samchilohu. It wasn't square, they were rounded. So if they were rounded, how exactly are these square boards going to support these rounded chalas? So the Gemara says, you have no choice but to say, the agolu mi'agol. They would round the boards also. That's how it was able to work. Now we flip it. That says that it was shaped like this ship that travels really fast. I knew the bein and sniffin. That's why you needed the sniffin in the first place. Ella lemand amik min teva brutza sniffin lomeli. What do you even need it for? If it's a nice square, just pile one. You can't pile six breads on top of each other. What's the big deal? If it was in a shape that's it's hard to support, I understand it. But if it's strong, what's the big deal? So the Gemara says agav yukra de lechem plach. They were afraid that the breads were heavy. And we're afraid that the breads are going to break. And nishtabra halechem, you're getting involved in real difficult sugyas in Masechtas Menachos. Much better to avoid that. Bishlam the man damekim in svina reikedes snifin al gabi shulchan menachos. Bishlam the man that says it was a svina reikedes. I understand where they put the snifin. If you hold it was a svina reikedes, that means on the bottom, the width was merely an etzba. So the bottom breads, the ones that are literally on the shulchan, how much of the shulchan did they actually take up? It just took up two etzbas, six on one side, six on the other side, but it's right, the piles, and on the bottom one, it's only an etzba. So there's room on the actual shulchan, underneath where the bread slope, to be able to put these snifin. So these beams were physically on top of the shulchan. There's room for it. El lemandam kamin teva prutza, but according to Mandam says it was a teva prutza. Heichi manach lehu, because again, as we'll see on Daf Tzadik Vav, the length and the width of the breads mirrored, literally, to the etzba, to the tefach, what the length and the width of the shulchan was. So there was no room to put the snifin on the shulchan. So where did they put the snifin? So the Gemara says, they put it on the ground. It was on the ground. It didn't have to be physically on the shulchan. It was on the side of the shulchan, but it wasn't physically on the shulchan. So the Gemara asks it as a kasha. The Gemara says, yep. In the Amrab Abba Bar Mamo, the Divri Oymik Min Svinarei Kadas, snifin al gabi shulchan munachin. If you hold it was a snifin, it was a svinarei kadas, so you were able to put the snifin on the actual shulchan. The Divri Oymik Teva Prutza. According to Mandam says it was a Teva Prutza, sniffing Agabi Karka Munachin. You have no choice but to say that it was Agabi Karka. One last kasha. Kaman Ozla, Hodam Rabbi Yehuda said, Alechem Maimed es Asnifin, Vasnifin Mamidin es Alechem. That the way the sniffing worked together with the breads was that the breads supported the sniffing and the sniffing supported the breads. The Gemara says, Kaman da Omar, Svina Rekadis. It's going to Mandam the whole Svina Rekadis, because being that it was rounded, so it wasn't just that the snifin were holding the breads were holding the snifin as well. But if you hold it, it was a teva prutza, so the snifin weren't really being supported the way it was just a regular board. put it on the side of the shulchan. So we needed the boards to support the breads, but you didn't need the breads to support the boards. So either way, machloikis So machloikis Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan, whether the lechem aponim were kamin teva prutza or whether it was kamin svina rekadas, the Gemara said depending on what it was, technically it would play itself out. Nafkaminas, who was supporting who? Misai mechazmi, and in terms of whether the boards were rounded and whether the boards were on the shulchan or they were on the side of the shulchan, but either way, the Gemara says, "Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. Kemin kiveres hayala betanur. There was something shaped like a kiveres, like a basket that was inside the tanur. The doima kemin tavla mirubas, and it was like a tablet that was squared, and that's where they put the lechem upon him. Sounds like it was squared. Sounds like it was a teva prutza, not a sfina rekedes. So the Gemara says." Ema upia doima kemin tavla merubas. Maybe what it means is the top part, meaning everybody agrees the top part was squared. The question is what the bottom looked like. Was the bottom like the bottom of a box? Or was the bottom sloped like the bottom of a ship? Tanya kemandama kemin svina rekadis, a braisa that supports the mandama that says it was like the svina rekadis. Tanya arbos snifin shalzav hayusham. There were these four snifin. Mefutsalin miroshayem kemin dakronim. Hayu, and they had these little things that were pointing out that looked like branches. The purpose of those things, again, more about this on Daf Tzadik Vav. But the reason these things were protruding was because the konim, these three poles that separated each layer of breads, had to fit into the konim somehow. So either way, it was based on that you needed these things inside the snifin. What was the purpose of it? They supported the breads, and here's the punchline. The breads, which were daima to the svina rekadas. So it's a tanya kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, but stating that, if you take a look in Rashi and Chumash in Parshas Truma, and the Rambam, when he talks about the Kli HaMikdash, they both paskin like the Mando Amar, Kimin Teva Prutza. We're going to stop here. A lot more about this on Daf Tzadik Vav, and maybe we'll get back tomorrow to some more raid regarding smicha.